religious organizations would be considered essential services and be allowed to stay open during an emergency under a proposal set for debate in the state Senate later today. Plus, lawmakers continue to work on a new spending plan as we approach the 100th day of session. With me now, as he is every Monday during the legislative session, to talk about what to expect in the week ahead is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Hey there, Howie.
Good morning. You keep asking me about that spending plan. I keep saying, what spending plan?
Right. We'll get to that in just a minute. But let's talk about this bill for coming up for debate in the Senate today that would basically make sure that churches, synagogues, mosques, other religious organizations or organizations could stay open during an emergency like, say, for example, a pandemic.
Well, there was no problem in Arizona with any of that. Now, some other states, when they put in restrictions on how many people could meet in a building or someplace like that, were in fact applying it to churches. So again, not a problem here. I think the area of concern is the breadth of the bill. There are two issues there. Number one, it also applies to any religious corporations or organizations, but they don't necessarily have to be associated with a church or a synagogue or anything like that. So what falls into that? I mean, does Knights of Columbus fall into that, as opposed to any other club? You know, does the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a Christian law firm, fall into that versus any other organization? And then you've got this much more interesting question of, there's language in there about religious discrimination, and nobody's for religious discrimination, but it says in there that you can go ahead and seek protections from being persecuted. But is the language so broad that it would allow certain organizations to commit certain crimes? Now, there's a list of crimes that they're not immunized from. So in other words, child molesting, things like that. But does that mean that everything else that a religion does that's not in the list of crimes becomes something that they can't be prosecuted for? So a lot of questions to be raised on that.
Yeah, it should be an interesting debate later today. Howie, also a little bit later this week, a couple of court cases dealing with whether or not State Representative Mark Finchem, running for Secretary of State, Congress members Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs, whether they can stay on the ballot or not. What's going on there?
Well, the question becomes a little known provision of the 14th Amendment. Now, we think 14th Amendment, we think equal protection. But there's a Section 3, which was from the original amendment, which came in 1868, right after the Civil War. And it says, if you participate in an insurrection against the government, you may not hold federal or state office. So the argument raised by this group from Washington, D.C. is that the activities of Mr. Finchem, who was actually there and involved in some forms of organizing it, and Messrs. Biggs and Gosar, who, according to some witnesses, were involved in the planning, they participated in an insurrection, and they want a ruling from Superior Court judges. And as you mentioned, there are three separate hearings this week saying that that disqualifies them from participating. Now, there are a whole bunch of side legal questions about whether Congress effectively repealed that several years later, which is what allowed certain former Confederates to run for office, things like that. But the more difficult question is, what is an insurrection? You had some tape at the top of the show where you talked about the attorney from this organization defining insurrection as being trying to keep the orderly transition of government.
Right.
Does that fit the definition? Is a trial judge in Maricopa County going to say that a congressman from the East Valley, or as Mr. Gosar, as your news team mentioned, from the Western Arizona, have they crossed that line? It's a fascinating question. I mean, it's been played out in a few other states. One judge threw it out, another judge is looking at it. And I don't know the answer of what the courts will do. I think courts have a tendency not to go ahead and reach broad conclusions like that. Now, here's the other half of the equation. Whoever loses in Superior Court this week is virtually certain to take it to the state Supreme Court, and we may get some really interesting case law on that.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. So, Howie, we talked about the budget at the top, and as you pointed out, what budget? But we are nearing the 100th day of the session, although the end of the fiscal year is still, and I hesitate to say this, still a little ways away. Has there been any movement on getting a budget done?
Well, what happened was Senate President Karen Fann recognizes she doesn't have the 16 votes among her Republicans. There are only 30 votes in the Senate. You need 16. You've got people like Paul Boyer, who is saying, look, I understand why we challenged Prop 208 and the surcharge on the rich. But voters did, in fact, say we wanted $900 million more for education. And we've got the money, depending on whose numbers you use.
Right.
You have anywhere between $4 and $5 billion of excess money in a state with a $12 billion budget. Now, some of it is one-time funds that we can't count on, but there's probably a couple of billion in there for this, which would allow you to both do the flat tax to create a single 2.5% rate and provide a permanent increase. Now, the problem among Ms. Phan is that some of her own Republicans will say it's over their cold, dead body. They want to put more money into K-12 education, never mind where we stand in terms of 48th, 49th, or 50th in per pupil funding. But their argument is, what results are we getting? What can we do? There are people who want more vouchers in exchange for their votes.
Right.
And then you've got, you know, some related issues that tend to get tied up in these things, specific projects people want. Representative Cook says, let's pay down some of our debt with some of the money.
Right.
So everybody has something they want. And the big problem for any legislative leader is this is never a problem when you don't have money. During the last decade, during the town turns, during the Brewer administration, there wasn't anything to argue about.
Right. More money says, means more issues, right?
More issues, and everybody wants something in exchange for their vote.
Right. All right. We'll have to leave it there. Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Thanks, Howie.
Well, hopefully we'll be out of here before June 30th.